Blog Talk Radio.
Hard. I am the shepherd and I am the dog. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. The bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am. Please.
time. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. If you listen to the lyrics of it, it'll truly encourage you. We all know that God is the great I Am. The song says God is your future. So leave your past behind. He is your hope. He is your peace. He is your joy, your strength, your power. He is your freedom for this very hour. Amen, amen. We thank God for that beautiful song by Eddie James. Amen. Once again, we greet you in the awesome, magnanimous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a Friday we call Provoke Friday. Amen. And we have certainly been praying continuously for our pastor and life coach that teaches for us on Provoke Fridays. Amen. We're still praying for God to continue to strengthen him and heal his body. But nevertheless, God always have a ram in the bush. He always prepare him a ram. Amen. Amen. So we thank you for tuning in to New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection. Certainly we have been having a glorious time on this fellowship. I tell you, the Spirit of God has been permeating the atmosphere. Hey, glory to God. And we felt it every day. Amen. If you didn't feel it, hallelujah, I'd just like to encourage you to go back into the archives and listen to these messages from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today we're going a little bit higher. Oh, can somebody say higher? Higher. We're going higher in the Lord. Truly, we have certainly. I tell you, I don't know about you all, but my soul has been revived. Hallelujah. I feel a refreshing in my spirit. Hey, glory to God. And can't nobody refresh you like God Almighty. Amen. Can't nobody refresh you like this Holy Ghost that bubbles in the inside, this fire that burns. Hey, glory to God. The prophet Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. And all you have to do is stir up this gift. This is a gift that God has promised to all those that love him, to all those that would seek after him with their whole heart. Hey, glory to God. He said the promise is not only for me, but it's for my children and my children's children. It's for me to the third and fourth generation. Now, glory to God. I bless the Lord for that on today. Amen. We like to say greetings also to our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry. Thank God for Sister Ruby opening up the switchboard. We on the freeway heading back home. Amen. I had to pull on the side just to open up, but I'll be through. I'll be on this line throughout this broadcast. Amen. We're just so excited to have this young man, and I met him several months ago on Minister Billy Burns. Minister Billy and Elder Burns, excuse me, I dare not leave out her husband, the man of God that's doing an awesome job with our Saturday segment. They overcame. And as we said earlier, you can tune in to that segment on Saturday morning, and they're doing a marvelous job with that segment. I mean, they have miraculous testimonies on what God has done. See, it's not about what we're doing. It's about what God is doing in the lives of his people. So we're excited about our speaker today, and we're going to ask Sister Ruby who's on the line, and if someone would be so kind as to open up with the word of prayer, and then I'm going to read a brief bio on this awesome man of God. Sister Ruby, and forgive me, Pastor Elder James Horn, because I did not have your area code, so we're going to have to play it by ear to see what area code you're in to open up your line.
Okay, yes,
ma'am. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
I've opened up his line already. He's on.
Okay, okay. God bless, God bless. Is it anybody else on where they can open up with a word of prayer before we bring up our speaker?
It's just a 312 number, 8. I don't know who that is.
Well, Sister Ruby, I'll let you do that and open up with the word of prayer for us all today.
Okay. Lord, Lord Jesus, we just thank you this afternoon that you have brought on this broadcast all this week and almost 2 years being on this broadcast.
Yes.
And solely depend on you because we know we can't do anything without you. And we wanted to be fresh from heaven above to your fresh on this earth. We thank you and we praise you and we magnify you for allowing us, that you have chosen us, to be on this broadcast. And Evangelist Bernard, the founder and the host of this broadcast, that you have given her this ministry to go forth so that men, women, boys, and girls can hear the gospel and say, what must we do to be saved? We just thank you for the opportunity that you have brought on so many blessed men and women of God, bishops and pastors and ministers and teachers and preachers, hallelujah, evangelists, hallelujah, ministries of health, ministries of work, Lord. We just thank you because, you know, we understand that without you we can do nothing. Without you we would be like a ship without a sail. And we don't want to be that. We want to hear from you. We want to block everything. If I've said or done anything that offend you, Lord Jesus, I repent because we don't want this word to be hindered because of my disobedience or sin that I know or not know about, Lord Jesus. Help us to go forth and be blessed by you, and you lead and guide us. And we thank you today for coming back on the, leading her there safe and sound with her granddaughter and her friend, Lord, and bringing them back on the back home, Lord, and having on the line. We thank you for this technology. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, have this technology that is a witness tool, and you have given it to your people, precious people, your royal family of baptized believers in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost and your precious people that you call to this broadcast. We just love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to bless the man of God that you have sent to come on this broadcast today to share the bread of life with us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, that we may get a word to permeate in our heart. And we say, Lord Jesus, we hear your word and we thank you for bringing us up the word that we can get better and grow more and more by faith. Hallelujah. And we thank you and we praise you. And we all the listeners and the ones out there, the ones that come on every day, we thank you for them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we just praise you for our lives. We praise you for getting us up this morning with breath in our body that we can go forth and do the will of your kingdom work for your church and your royal family, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we pray for Pastor Hamilton, Lord Jesus, as Evangelist Bernard was saying, this is Provoke Friday. Lord Jesus, we finally heard from him, Evangelist Bernard did, and we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We ask you to strengthen him, encourage him, get him up and running because he always coming on saying, hey, family, and we are his family. We love him dearly, but we thank you for bringing in Minister James today. So we have the other thing but to give you the glory, give you the honor, and give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we say thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Evangelist Bernard.
Amen, amen. Truly, we thank God for that awesome prayer. We thank God. Some of the listeners, you may be tuning in late. Amen. But we'd like to greet each and every one of you all that may be listening live on the internet and those that may be listening and come into the chat room, we praise and thank God for you. Amen. We thank God for this man of God that's coming to share a word from the Lord with us today. I tell you, when I heard him and heard his awesome testimony, I just, you know, the spirit, you know, of God always transcending it. Allow you to know that person, even though sometimes we have never met them or seen them in person, but we try their spirits, amen, and we know this man to be a man of God, amen, and we want to introduce him, and this is his first time on this particular segment, but he has been on our segment with Elder and Minister Albert Burns and grew up there in Chicago. So I'm going to read this brief bio on him. We just thank God for the man of God taking out of his busy day to come and share the word of God with us. It's a blessing, and we know that God is a rewarder. Hallelujah. He will certainly reward him for this great sacrifice, all in the name of Jesus. Elder James Horn was born in Chicago, Illinois, and was raised in Maywood, a suburb of Chicago. James attended Proviso East High School, and after graduation, he worked 8 years for United Postal Service and attended classes at Triton College.
Yes.
Amen. He has earned an associate degree in paralegal studies from Robert Morris College, as well as a bachelor's degree in business management from National Lewis University. While he was working full-time for Sears, Roebuck and Company, amen, during his tenure at Sears, James became a Six Sigma Green Belt and a certified ISO auditor. James has worked as a senior project manager with CPS Corporation in Chicago, and was also the director of operations, wonderful, for the Salvation Army Palm CA Center in the Uptown neighborhood. I could identify with Uptown. I'm a Southern girl. That's what we say, Uptown, Downtown, Baptown, Uptown. Hallelujah! So when I see Uptown, Elder James, I can identify with that. I'm a Southern girl. You all still hear this accent. I've been there for 30 years, but it's still a part of who I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Elder James has started Faith Enterprise, a global consulting firm that specializes in assisting new churches and a ministry. We certainly need that. Amen. James, Elder James, is an ordained and licensed Christian minister and lives in the western suburbs of Chicago. And he is the proud father of one son. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
So it gives us great pleasure, Elder James. We're just so happy and excited. I'm always excited about new listeners and new callers, but especially the men and women of God that God has called in to this wonderful, marvelous light to minister to those that don't know him, and to those that do know him. You all are here to encourage our heart, to lift
Amen.
Us up, and that's what we're about. We're about encouraging and empowering souls to pursue their destiny, because we all have a destiny, and it should be in Christ Jesus. If we stay in Christ Jesus, guess what? We'll never get off the path. We will stay on the corrected and the design path that God has for our life. So with no further ado, we'd like to present to some and introduce to others our wonderful speaker today, all the way from Chicago, Illinois, none other than Elder James Horn. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. God bless you, my sister. How are you today?
We're doing wonderful. And take your time. We have some callers call in a little late, but we have a big audience that listens online, so however the Lord leads you, we want you to go forth in that way. We know we've been talking about protecting this anointing, so
yes,
let
ma'am.
The Lord just have his way today. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Well, first, you know, we've already started off in prayer, but I guess two key components that come to mind anytime you talk about the anointing is two things, is that people need to understand what it is, number one, and number two, we need to understand what is it used for, okay? So those are the two key components right there. So what is the anointing, okay? So when we look at, I believe it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it talks about when David was being anointed. And so when you look at, I believe we go here into verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, and it talks about when Samuel was supposed to anoint King David. So in verse 11 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." So we understand that the anointing means that you are endowed with the power of God. Is that, and what that anointing means, it means to smear, it means to rub. So basically what Samuel was doing on the behalf of the Lord is anointing David for service. And so anytime that you're anointed, that means that God has a specific task for you to do. Okay, and that goes in and coincides with question number two. What is it used for? It's used for service. And so it comes from God, and what it does, as it comes from God, that anointing is to move you forward. Okay, and as it moves you forward, it catapults you into your assignment, and it allows you full access into the reign of God, into the spirit of God, into the mind of God. Okay, and so if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then if you go to 17, what happens next? David was catapulted into his first service, which was what? Slaying Goliath. So, okay, we understand what it is, we understand what is it used for, but like you said, our subject matter is to how do you protect that anointing. And what God showed me, Pastor Bernard, is that anytime you want to protect something, you're guarding it. That means it's precious. You follow what I'm saying? Is that anytime you're protecting something, that means it's valuable. That means it's worth something. I mean, you know, you don't see people robbing people that don't have any valuables on them. People that rob, or robbers or burglars, they're trying to get something of value. So this anointing is special. It's valuable. And you know why? Because it comes from God. And most importantly, Jesus gave his life for this. This thing is precious. It's not nothing to be played with. And so I want to go to a couple of scriptures here. I want to go to first, let's go to the book of Isaiah. And it goes, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And then it says here, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed." How shall the yoke be destroyed? Because of the anointing. Okay? So the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And that is going to set things straight. That is going to set people free, is the anointing. Okay? Now, two things that I believe God is sharing with us today is how to protect your anointing. And I don't hear a lot of people preaching these today. Is number one, holiness, and number two, humility. Those are two key components that I believe that God wants to share with us today, is that how to protect the anointing. In order to protect that anointing, the Bible talks about, "For be ye holy," for why? Because he is holy, okay? And then it goes on in humility, it says, "Before honor, there's humility." So before you can be risen up, before God lifts you up, you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. And so,
that's the word.
Amen, amen. And so here it is here, is that holiness, what is holiness? Holiness means that it's pleasing to God. It's living in a right lifestyle with him. And humility means that it's not you that's doing it, but it's God that's doing it. And see, what has happened, my sisters, is that we have been, the body of Christ has been bamboozled for years with the spirit of religion. Okay, and let me just share this real quick, is that, and this is not to knock down any denomination or anything like that, but religion is based upon the institution and what the institution desires. But see, relationship is based upon the individual and what's the expectations from the individual.
Come on,
follow
man.
Me? And so here it is, here is that religion says that we have to wear white robes every first Sunday. Religion says we have to march in every second Sunday. Religion says that we take communion on the first Sunday. Religion says that we have to do it based upon the institution, which will fall. But see, relationship says we let the Spirit of God move. For where the Bible says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And liberty means that there is freedom in the house. And so, again, the anointing is meant to set the captives free. And in order to set the captives free, you got to have the Spirit of the Lord upon you. And that's the only way that's done. And so, again, I must reiterate, I'm not knocking a denomination or anything like that, but I'm just sharing with you what God has put upon my heart. And religion holds you captive. And religion holds you captive. And the Bible talks about who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's free indeed. And we talk about communion being held on the first Sunday, but the Bible says as oft as ye do, as oft. So meaning you could do it every day if you wanted to. You follow me? You know, it doesn't have to be constrained to just to be done on a first Sunday or a second Sunday. If you want to take communion on Thursday night at midnight, that's up to you. As oft as you do, think of me. So, okay, I didn't sidetrack for him. I get excited, amen.
That's all right. That's all right. You got the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. So I want to go to a couple of scriptures here that is going to lay the foundation for the spirit of holiness operating, okay? First passage of scripture I would like to go to, it would be the book of Psalms, chapter 24. And it goes in here and says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. And then I want to, let's see, verse 2. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, this is key, verse 3. He says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, no sworn deceitfully, what's going to happen with this man? He shall receive the blessing from who? From the Lord, not from man, not from the institution, but he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we got to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from who? It comes from God. It comes from God. So this anointing is so precious, it's so special that man, in his finite wisdom, that he attempts to manipulate this and to dilute this anointing. And then we wonder why souls are not coming to Christ, because the man or woman of God is not operating in holiness. We're operating in manipulation, and we're operating in deceit, but we're not operating in the Spirit.
My.
And so here it is here. It tells us that he that hath clean hands. Let's go back to the life of David. Now, that 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see that David was somewhere on the backside feeding them nasty sheep, but yet God said, hey, that's the one I want. Okay? We look at the life of Moses. Moses was a murderer. Moses was someone who was on the backside of the desert, who had a stuttering problem. But God said, no, I want him. Okay? Saul was a killer of Christians, and he took pride in that. Well-educated man, but he took pride in killing the church of Jesus Christ. But on that Damascus road, he said, hey, you need to get with me. And I'm just paraphrasing this. And so why is it that God picks the foolish things of this world to confound the wise? You want to know why, Pastor Bernard? Because we know that it was nobody but God that did it. See, he could take someone with a PhD, but I believe God says, you know what, I want to take that brother or that sister who just got out of rehab. I want to take that brother, that sister just got out of jail. I want to take that
brother or sister that's
been in the street all their life, that brother or sister been selling drugs or shooting up. I want to take that individual because I know when I anoint them for service and set them apart, they're going to appreciate the gift that I gave them. And they're not going to manipulate it for gain. They're not going to manipulate it for gain. They're not going to manipulate it for gain. Too many men and women of God, and I've been in the church for a long time. My parents used to get me up to go to church when I was young, and I've seen a lot. And one thing I've seen is that people start off in Christianity really, really good. They on fire for the Lord. But some way down the line, they get stagnated, Pastor Bernard, in that, you know, it's just contingent upon, number one, who's your leader, if in fact that leader is anointed for service. Because now we both know, my sister, that everybody ain't anointed to do this thing. Am I right about it?
Yes, Lord.
Everybody ain't anointed to do this. Just because you went to the school of theology does not mean that you're anointed to do what God has called you to do. That means you just have education. But God is the one. God is the one. He told Moses, when you open your mouth, I'm going to fill it. You follow me? He said, I believe it was Paul wrote and said, you know, that I have the mind. No, I'm sorry. Jesus said it in the Gospels. He said that my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they should not yield to. So as a result of protecting this anointing, you got to operate in holiness. Holiness means that I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder my relationship with the Father. You know, when I was growing up, I'm an only child, and I have to say this. I feared my father. I mean, my father, he was very intimidating. He was a small dude, but he was very intimidating, and that he could look at me and he would break me down. And I didn't want to do anything to him where he would look at me. He would look at me in that way. And that I know that I was going to get a beat down when he got home. And so it's the same concept with God and protecting that anointing, is that I love him just that much, hallelujah, that I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do nothing that's going to jeopardize my relationship with him. I like the way David put it when he fell. He said in Psalms 51, let's go there for a minute. Let's check out these words. Psalms 51, and he says in verse 1 here, he says here, "Look, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." So he's asking for a dual washing. He's saying, Lord, wash me, number one, cleanse me. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, "For I acknowledge," or "I let you know what I've done, because my sin is ever before me." See, a lot of times when we get caught up, if we're anointed, you know, we've been anointed for service to do a particular task, and what happens is that the church, how can I say it? The church, they hold us captive with our sin. You follow me? Is that what they do is that they say, okay, hey, you've done this, you've done that, you've done that. But when it's all said and done, they didn't do that, or we didn't do that against that individual. We did that upon God. And so if I've gotten it right with God, what gives you the right to punish me at that point? Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
So here it is. David said, now here's the key here. That's what I'm backing it up with. He said in verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." So David was saying, Lord, I know I sinned with Bathsheba. I know I had Uriah killed. I know I was supposed to be doing something else for you because I am anointed for service. But, Lord, I did this against you. You know why? Because he's the Father, and he didn't want to upset the Father, and he wanted to get that thing right so he can get back in operating in holiness so that God will allow him to operate in that anointing for service and build that temple and pass on that legacy for Solomon. So It's one of those things, Pastor Bernard, is that, you know, when you protect that anointing, you have to operate in holiness. You have to operate in love. You have to operate in forgiveness. You have to, you know, have the fruits of the Spirit on. And so many times we operate in flesh. Flesh. We operate in, and we wonder why. We wonder why there is no growth in the church. See, let me just go off track for a minute. God is a progressive God, meaning that when he comes on the scene or when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you move forward. Am I right about it? Do I got any witnesses out there? That anybody that's got with Christ, they move forward. They don't stay there. They don't stay where they are. They don't move backward. They don't go to the side. They don't go to the right or the left. They go forward. You follow what I'm saying? Paul said it best. I press. I press. That woman with the issue of blood, she pressed.
Yeah.
She pressed. When she heard about Jesus was in town, she didn't see him. She heard about him, and she pressed. And see, what happens is that we don't press. We don't press. Why? Because we don't want to protect the anointing, because we're content operating in our flesh. And then we come back to God. God, why isn't my church growing? Why aren't people coming to Christ? Why can't I lay hands on the sick and they be healed? Stop operating in the flesh.
Jesus.
Stop operating in the flesh. You know, and, you know, Paul said it best, I believe it's in Romans chapter 7, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, you know what? I'm trying to do good. I really want to do good, but evil is always present with me, and there's a fight going on. There's spiritual warfare going on. So we understand this. We understand, Pastor Bernard, that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. We're wrestling not against Judy or Sam or John. We're wrestling against the enemy. We're wrestling against the enemy, and see, we're fighting the wrong fight, and then we wonder why we're so tired. I'm a firm believer, Pastor Bernard, is that when God anoints you for service for a particular task, I call it sweatless victory. Sweatless victory. David, what did he do? He slung that rock, boom, hit Goliath upon the head, and he was out. Sweatless. Didn't bust a sweat. Moses, all he did was held up the rod, and the children, I mean, he did more, but, you know, they walked through dry ground, sweatless. And the Bible also talks about that particular story, is that there was not one feeble among them when they walked through. And they came out, they borrowed jewels and precious things from the Egyptians, because God was like, look, it's time to go, so you need to go get your stuff. So you shall not go out empty. And that's what I believe. When you protect your anointing, you treasure it, you honor it. It's like a man being married to a wife. You follow what I'm saying? Being married, okay, is that you honor that woman, you cherish that woman. There's nothing that you won't do for that woman, and it should be even a greater for that anointing. Is that you like, hey, I don't want to mess this thing up, because this thing is precious. This thing is precious. And so, you know, regarding that, I mean, that's what I sense in the Spirit, or what the Spirit is saying to us as far as protecting the anointing, is that operating in holiness, number one, and then number two is operating with a spirit of humility. And I believe that spirit of humility comes forth after we know we haven't operated in holiness, and we humble ourselves to say, God, I messed up. I've done wrong. I need to get this thing right. And that's what I believe God is saying. And if we go, we look at the story of the prodigal son, I believe it's in the book of Luke, and we see that when the prodigal son, you know, you got the two sons, you got the father, he came to the father and said, you know what, I want to go kick it. And I'm paraphrasing, you know, I'm just kicking it in 21st century language. Is that okay, Pastor Bernard? And so here it is, here is that this man, he goes to his father.
Okay.
He says, I'm sorry?
That's okay, and, Pastor.
Amen. And so he goes to his father. He said, look, Dad, you know, whatever you got for me, I need it now. I want it now. And basically what you were saying in that particular time, he was saying is that, Father, I really wish you was dead, because how else do you receive an inheritance if that person is still alive? There's no way that you can receive an inheritance from a person that's alive. The only way you receive an inheritance is when that person is dead, and then that wealth is transferred over to the next of kin. So that was an insult, number one. He was insulting his father. He was telling his dad, Dad, I really wish you were out of here because I need what you got now. So he goes, he kicks it. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, who he wants to do it with. And so now here he comes to a point of his life where he's in a pig pen eating the same mess that they eat. But see, I like that scripture where it says, but he came to himself. And see, that's what's so important about protecting this anointing, that you got to come to yourself. You got to say, you know what, if it had not been the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? And he said to himself,
where would I be?
And so he goes on, and he looks at his life. He looks back and says, you know what, how many of my father's servants got more than me? And again, I'm paraphrasing. He's saying to himself, like, man, you know, I bet you this servant still got this, and look at me. I'm the king's kid. I'm a child. I'm an heir of the throne, but yet I'm eating with pigs. But guess what? I got to go back to my father's house, so I humble myself. I've been humbled. God has humbled me, and so now it's time for me to return to the place where I know that's in the house. And see, this is another key thing is that we got to understand is that with the prodigal son, all was well when he was in the house. He was in the confines of the house. He was, I call it, he was under the Ark of the Covenant. But when he left that special place, that's when all hell broke loose. You see, and that's a lot of times, that's another reason why we got to understand how to protect that anointing and stop operating in the flesh and operating out of disobedience, doing what we want to do when we want to do it. We preaching these watered-down sermons that God has not given us, that the Spirit of the Lord has not authorized, and we trying to get people saved based on what thus saith us, knowing that we got nothing to say. And so he goes back. He goes back to the house, and the father runs to meet him. And when you look back at that particular period, the fathers wore long robes. And basically what this father was doing is that as he was running, he was risking the chance of being ridiculed because his robe. But he ran to him and embraced him. And that's how God does us when we humble ourselves and realizes that, you know what, I got an assignment to do for God. And see, Pastor, we should get excited when God anoints us. We should get excited. I mean, I being in Chicago, I look at all of the stuff that's going on the news, children are dying. I'm excited about the assignment God has given me. I'm excited where God has brought me from. I'm excited because I know that God has given me a message for these young people that I can relate to. I'm excited. But see, we're not excited. You know why? Because we're not humble. Because we're operating in flesh. And so, I mean, those are the two key components, Pastor Bernard, that I believe God has instructed me, has released me to share with your audience today in protecting the anointing, is operating in holiness and operating in humility. And again, the Bible clearly tells us, he said, not your will be done, not my will. But let your will be done. And see, when we come to the point of that, this is not, we are not the star attraction. We are a supporting cast. That Jesus is the star attraction. He's the star attraction. We are the supporting cast. Now let's take this a step further. Will Smith, one of the highest paid actors. If I'm in a movie, if you and I are in a movie with Will Smith is the star. Why? Because he has the experience, hallelujah. He has the accreditation, hallelujah. He has the track record of breaking box office records. But see, we don't. So we get a lower scale of pay, hallelujah, than he would get. And it's the same way with Jesus. He has a great track record. He has an experience. Hallelujah. He's been there and done that. So why wouldn't we want to protect this anointing through holiness, operating in holiness and operating in a spirit of humility? Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. So that those are the two things that God has given me, Pastor Bernard, about just operating in holiness and the spirit of humility and protecting that anointing.
What more can we say? Hey, glory to God. Hey, Jesus. Now, you know, hallelujah. I tell you, I hope you all on here. I'm driving, so it's a little noisy on this road. But I tell you, I know God gave you that. Hallelujah. Holiness and humility. And you said something so profound. You said, Elder Horn, that those were two things that we don't even talk about anymore in the church.
Yes, ma'am.
Why? Those are two very important, vital elements of our salvation.
Yes, ma'am. I just truly believe is that we're trying to do things our way and not God's way. And I believe that we start off really well doing it God's way, but some way along the line we get, manipulated, bamboozled, and we think that, okay, hey, you know, the money's coming in. I got a lot of people in my flock. You know, I'm building bigger buildings, but I'm not building believers. And we think that we've made it. We think that we made it, but we haven't. We haven't.
Wow. You know? Then you said something else that was profound.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Religion. We're into religiosity. Religion. But what about relationships?
Yes, ma'am.
What about the relationship? If we don't have a relationship with God, and if we don't build a relationship with one another, how are we going to make it in?
I mean, it's so mind blowing, Pastor Bernard, is that, you know, Paul talks about the body, you know, being the fingers, being on the hand, and so on and so forth, and that. You can't have one without the other. You can, but you don't operate in full sync. You don't operate in full capacity. That's the word I'm looking for here. Is that and when you don't line up like that, you don't operate in full capacity. Now, how can I operate in full capacity? And you know, and don't take this the wrong way. Is that how can I operate in full capacity if I don't have all of my limbs? If I don't have all of the essentials that are needed? Okay, to do what God has called me to do, you know. So if those two elements aren't being promoted in the body of Christ, then we're operating on our own free will. We're operating without the anointing because, again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So how can the Spirit of the Lord be in a place where technically you're operating in flesh? Because the flesh warreth what? Against the spirit. So either you're going to do it the flesh way or you're going to do it the spirit's way. You follow me? So if you're doing it the spirit way, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. But when you're walking in the flesh, you're doing it your way. And then you wonder why you wonder why you're having heart attacks and you wonder why you're short of breath because now you're operating in your own strength. And you're not operating in that anointing, which causes you to flow, which causes you to move forward, which gives you sweatless victory.
So would you be, how do I phrase this? The anointing, we all know it's the anointing that destroys, I don't say break, because the Bible states it destroys you.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. And you read Isaiah 10:27 or 27:10. I probably got it twisted. So it's
Isaiah 10:27. Yes, ma'am.
10:27. Okay. It's the anointing that destroy yokes. Would it be wise to say that those that aren't filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, have the anointing operating in the how can the anointing operate in your life if you have not been filled with His Spirit?
Well, I mean, I believe you just answered your own question. I mean, again, how can we how can we operate without a heart? You follow me? How can we flow without a heart? We can't do nothing without a heart. Or better yet, how can we stand without our skeletal system? We can't. Why?
Jesus.
That skeletal system it gives us our support. It gives us our foundation. You follow me? So again, you just ask your own question. So how, the flesh wars against the spirit. So I walk in the spirit. I walk in the spirit so that I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that means that when I'm walking in the spirit, that means I'm walking by faith. That means I'm listening to the voice of the Lord, not the voice of James, not the voice of John, not the voice of Bob. I'm listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so this is so profound here. What God has shown me is that we know let me just say this, is that what I found out in my life, I don't know about nobody else, is that it's good to know the Bible, but it's better to know God's voice.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
It's good to know the Bible. He talks about that word, and the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But when it's all said and done, I need to know His voice. I need to know, Lord, do you want me to stay here and wait on you, or do I need to go right? Do I need to go down Madison Street and stop at Central and wait here at this gas station because I know you got a blessing for me, or do I need to go all the way downtown? I need to know His voice, and so His voice only comes about as my relationship with God.
Glory!
It only comes as a result of me being intimate, being in intimacy with God. Perfect example God showed me is that I have a 17-year-old son, and now let's just say we're in a dark building, a pitch black building, and it's me, you, and my son in that building. Now the Bible clearly says, "My sheep know my voice." My sheep, meaning those that are in relationship with me, those that have been in my presence, they know my voice. Now, my son's name is Jabari. If I call Jabari, if I continue to say his name in that dark place, sooner or later he's going to find me. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. But see, Sister Bernard, if you call his name, he's going to stop in his track because he don't know you. He's not going to come to you because there's no relationship with you. But see, glory be to God, when the Father, hallelujah, when the Father calls upon him, he's going to come. Because why? Mm. I've spent time with him.
Yes.
I spent time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that again is a whole separate entity. Is that you have to know the voice of God first, most importantly, to know your assignment when you are anointed. You have to know the voice of God, and so that's why it's so important as believers when we know we've been anointed and we have a particular assignment that comes from God. We have to be in prayer. We have to be. We have to be. You know, we always asking other people, what should we do? Why don't you ask God what you should do?
Oh.
He the one that made you.
We don't know him.
Exactly.
We don't know him. We know we know our friends, and we pride ourselves on how our relationship is with our friends, what we do to impress them when we're not even looking to see what God is requiring of us, where we can impress Him.
Yes, yes, yes. And
so
Elder
Horn, what you're saying to me today, we've been in a series and we have been talking about about desiring spiritual gifts. We have been talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, or our modern day language, the Holy Spirit. And people say they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it talks to me, but you don't even speak in unknown tongues.
Mm-hmm.
How is it dwelling on the inside of you when the Bible clearly says that the evidence that you really have that thing is to speak in another language?
Mm-hmm.
So if we never tell the people, and we have been talking about that, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, whichever one you prefer, and we had defined that Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, as the comforter, what Jesus promised that he would send to his disciples.
That's, yes, ma'am.
That's who the promise was given them to. And then after they partook, then it was offered to us. Amen.
Right.
So it disturbs me because we want to jump, we want to shout, we want to feel good, but we don't really have the power that we need to refrain from getting ourselves into awkward situations, I'll say.
So if there's no power,
how can we really operate? And that's why you're finding, and we're looking in the, when we go to these buildings, I won't say the church, because the church of God is undefiled. It is holy. Glory to God. But when we go into these buildings, we don't see none of the manifestations of the Spirit really working, because we go in dry, we come out dry. We go in ailing, we come out ailing. Where is the power? I'm not going. If I have a pain in my hip or anywhere in my body, and you tell me the power of God is present in your building, and you are operating, and you are a son of the, you are heir, I'll say, of the King, then when I come, hallelujah, guess what? If the Spirit is really operating, you don't have to lay hands on me. Hallelujah. Because when God visit a place, glory to God, when God visit a place, there will be a change. The atmosphere shifts when God come in the place. And everything that you have need of is there. It's there. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, you have preached here today, man of God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
All humility. I heard what you said.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Religion or relationship? What are we going to choose today?
Yes, ma'am.
Are we going to live holy?
Glory to God. I bless the Lord for you today.
Hallelujah. This word, I tell you, I'll say, Pastor Elder Horn, we have been talking about this power. We have been talking about this working. We have been talking about these gifts that God won't operate in the body for weeks on top of weeks. We even had a series on the Acts of the Apostles. We, chapter by chapter, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and we talked about it from the first chapter to the 28th. Now, you know, we on Blog Talk Radio. Blog, you can go back 24/7, 365 days, as long as we are in good standing with this this subscription we have.
Okay.
You can go back and listen to these messages in their entirety. There is a record. I say every day, if Blog Talk has a record and you can access that, what about God? These messages are not coming forward for naught. They're not coming forward because we don't have nothing to do. Because there are souls out in the streets. They're dying every day. There
Amen.
Is many people that you can
yes.
help. There
Hallelujah.
Are many people that need help. You don't have to go into a building. Go to the
Yes,
go into
yes,
the
hedges
and the highways and compel them to come.
Mm-hmm,
holiness,
mm-hmm.
he said.
You know, yeah,
holiness
yeah,
and humility.
Amen.
But we won't humble ourselves. We're
yes,
so
ma'am.
Busy into one another and we're
yes.
not touching any lives. That's why
right.
our children are mixed up. That's why they're going through what they're going through. Because guess what? They have nobody to look to. There is no more examples. There is
mm-hmm.
no more role models.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. But God has a people. God always going to have him a remnant.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, my word will not go out and return unto me. But oh, man, you have did something to me today. Hey,
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah,
praise
that was
God.
A word. It was an old-time word.
Amen.
Old-time
praise
word.
The Lord. Praise
you
God.
You said something again that struck me when you said about taking of the Lord's body, eating of his body, and drinking of his blood. You said this is something. The Bible says as fast as you do.
Yes.
Yes.
Glory
to God.
Yes.
You don't have to have a program. We don't have to set aside first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday.
Yes,
hallelujah. When you live right, then glory, when you walk in obedience, amen,
yes.
you can eat of his body and drink
yes.
of his blood
yes.
every day because you're pleasing God.
Yes, yes,
hey.
Yes, yes,
do
yes.
Do you really want
yes.
to please God?
Yes, hallelujah.
Are we just interested in fulfilling the lust of our flesh? Are we
you know,
interested
yeah,
in
yeah.
continuing to just put on this mask we wear every day? I'll pray for traits. That's what my grandkids say. You know, they yeah, we did all of that in my day, too. But, you know, they got different lingo now.
Right,
and if you ain't up on it, the devil will take you for a loop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pray for
Amen.
Traits. We can't be perpetrators.
Yeah,
yeah. We have to be originators. God is looking for
yes.
Jesus.
Yeah,
you done messed
yeah.
me up here today.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I'm just only giving you what he's given me. And, you know, I didn't get saved in the traditional setting. I went to church, but the church wasn't inside of me. I got saved at a homeless shelter, 646 South State Street, in the basement, doing a class,
hey.
Doing a teaching. And the man of God lifted up, and he gave this question, and it was so profound, yet so simple. He said, if you die today, do you know where you're going? Are you 100% sure? If you would you go to heaven? If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? And that question blew me off my chair because it's like he said 100% sure, and he said 99.99999 won't do it. You have to be 100%. So I had to do a rewind, and I'd be like, you know what? I got baptized, you know, I got baptized three times, and you know, I did this church service, I did this, and I was a junior usher, I did this, but had I been born again? And the answer to that question was no. The answer to that question was no. And see, we get so excited about being baptized, but yet we haven't been born again. And that's the only way to see Christ is that we must be born again. And see, you touched on something.
Let me just stop you for a minute because you said
yes, ma'am.
Something there. And I don't want our audience to be confused. You just said we've been baptized but not born again. How does those two correlate?
Okay, baptism is an outward demonstration of knowing, of showing people that, okay, you're being baptized because you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But a lot of people, what I found out when I came up in the church is that they hadn't been born again, but they had been baptized. So what was happening is that churches were opening up the doors of the church per se, but they weren't inviting anyone to Christ. They were baptizing people, but they weren't inviting anyone to Christ to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This wasn't happening.
Let's go. Now, when one have made a formal decision to get up and go and be baptized. They call that, they say after you have made that formal decision and you've gotten up and you accepted Christ to be your personal Savior, now you're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. So you just said that they haven't been born again. When they go down in that watery grave, what does that mean?
Well, from what God has shown me through the Word, if you go to Romans 10:9 and 10:10, it says,
I'm just trying to give them an understanding. I hear what you're saying, but sometimes we don't really.
No. That's why we got the Word. We got the Word here.
Okay.
Now here we go. Here, Romans 10:9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here it is now. In order for me, the prerequisites for me to be being born to be born again is this: confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So what God has shown me when I was coming up through the church ranks is that that portion wasn't being implemented. People weren't asking you, hey, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They were just rushing you to be baptized without even asking you to repent of your sin. Okay, repent of your sin. Remember, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So that wasn't happening, Pastor Bernard. People were just rushing you into a back room, putting you on some swim trunks and a swim hat, and baptizing you in Jesus' name, but yet you're not born again.
So the first prerequisite then is to confess Jesus or repent. Which order would you put that in?
I would say first and foremost is confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So I would say it would be done simultaneously, meaning that I'm repenting of my sin. Number one, God has you know, tapped me on the shoulder and say, hey, you need to give your life to Christ, saying, okay, now I need to repent. I need to get some things right. Then I need to get the old out. Now I'm confessing the new, and now I believe that God has raised him from the dead.
Okay, so you're saying they should not, the leaders and what have you, should not just let people come up and then take them down in Jesus' name before asking them, have they confessed Jesus and have they repented of their sin?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what, and you're accurate on that, because many times you will, many times as we call it, we open up the altar,
and ask
for people to come and get prayed for, and then ask them if they were ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we never ask, because that's somewhat like embarrassing to ask somebody if they repented, because those that are out in the audience looking, you know, they feel like when you get up, that's a sign of repentance right there.
Right. But see, you have to understand this, though, Pastor Bernard, and this is some things that I've seen in the past, is that people get very emotional, you know, during that time. And see, you got to understand that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I know that I did wrong. I know that, you know, I heard some things, I said some things, so I'm caught up emotionally, and I want to come to the altar because, again, that's tradition. That's tradition. Is that okay? I'm crying, you know. And again, I'm not negating anybody who's ever listening, whatever the case may be. You know, again, don't take this the wrong way, but these are just some of the things that God has shown me that I've seen throughout, you know. Me coming up in the church, and you know, God revealed them and, you know, and showed me those things. And so here it is here, is that, I mean, what sense does it make for me to go and turn the key to my car if I don't have a battery in there? I ain't going nowhere.
Exactly.
I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. So here it is here. You baptizing me, but again, I don't even know if I'm saved or not. The only thing I know is that this is what I've seen throughout my years, is that when I want to get right, I need to go get baptized. But we need to do and do what the word tells us to do. You know, we need to say, okay, hey, if you die today, do you know where you're going? And I'm telling you, I mean, it took me to a whole nother level, Pastor Bernard, because again, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I didn't know.
Each of us, I understand, and we all have different scenarios on how we were born again and how we had a transformation in our lives. You know, everybody have a different testimony, but I'm also reminded, and it's so key what you said about repentance, because Peter said in Acts chapter 2, he said that when they asked, you know, what men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent.
Uh-huh.
So repentance always comes before baptism.
Yes.
So that's so accurate. So accurate. Woo, Lord, this is good. We could go on and on. Oh, I tell you, I certainly have enjoyed this word. Usually I don't get into, we have the audience to ask some questions and what have you, but y'all, excuse me one second. Can you all wait a moment? That's my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So we just thank God for Elder Horn. I tell you, you certainly have blessed me. Oh, Lord, I just want to get in this word, you know, and you know, it's something how the Lord can send a word, and many times when He sends that word, some way or another, God has already dealt with you, and
yes,
that's
ma'am.
Why our spirits can identify with the word that God is speaking. A rhema word comes directly from God.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
You are the vessel that delivered this word, but the rhema word, God gave you a rhema word for the people. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know, God is an amazing God. He never ceases to amaze me.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Amazes me about what He has given.
Amen.
Amen. God is the one that gives gifts unto men. We
Amen.
Don't give gifts to one another. God is the gifter. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I thank God for you today. This was a rhema word. I have received it down in my spirit, and I'm going to feast on it, and I'll get
Man.
A chance this the weekend. I can go back and listen to these messages that have come forward today. I tell you, it's just a blessing. I don't have the switchboard before me, but I'm going to go now, Elder Horn, to some of our listeners, and I'll ask Sister Ruby to open up the line, and if they have any questions or short comments, we certainly welcome them to do so at this time. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Sister Ruby.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's nobody on as of here. They was on, but they dropped off.
Okay, my Sister Ruby is here. Sister Ruby, you can have some remarks or what have you. Is anybody
well, think,
in the chat room today?
Yes, in the chat room, Patrick Gregg, and we had guest 1776. We had Prophet Michael Davis on. Sister Donna Shaw was on. Unknown number, maybe Minister
Prophet
Horn
Davis
know it.
Down.
It's 312-8674. They dropped off.
Okay, is Prophet Davis still on?
No, he's off.
Okay. Well, we thank God. Did you have a comment or a question or remark, Sister Ruby?
No, the word was a blessing. If the word was a blessing, you asked the questions that I probably would have asked. So I just thank the Lord for having Pastor Horn, Minister Horn on. I forgot his last name. I put Minister James.
Horn.
But anyway, it's just a blessing that he had the time and the Lord gave him the words, and he came out of the Bible, you know, with his you know, words from Jesus Christ. So it's been a blessing, and we thank you so very much, Pastor Horn. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Evangelist Bernard.
Amen, amen. Well, we certainly would love to have you to come and speak to us again. We have enjoyed you, and I don't know how many are listening on the internet today. I know it's Friday for some of you all. You know, sometimes we go crazy on Fridays, honey, but you better try to get some self-control. Hallelujah.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
ma'am. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So we just thank God for you, Elder James. You have certainly blessed my spirit on today, and I just thank God that you had this time where you can dedicate it to our listeners and the audience. And, Jesus, this word has really blessed me today, and I just pray that God would continue to pour into you more and more and more.
Amen.
And that he would continue to lead and guide you and give you the things, the equipment, the tools that you need to be successful in reaching souls.
Amen.
Reaching souls, that's what it's about.
Amen.
Now the boy is beating on my call.
Pastor Horn, we have a question in the chat room, and I don't know what it may be. You can understand. It's from Jural. I can't. It's J-U-R-O-R. And he said, well, if it's his or her, what is the decision about? Did you talk about a decision?
Yeah, the decision was accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. I believe that, you know, it's, I was speaking about when I made my decision. I believe that's what they're referring to. I was asked, okay, are you 100% sure if you die today, do you know where you're going? And making that decision to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, repenting of my sin, confessing with my mouth, and believing in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
Oh, okay. They had it, so I thought I would. Since we had time, I would go back to you. And we have another guest on there, Measure of Faith. They was on the other day. So thank you so much. And turn it back over to you, Evangelist. Was she answering? Okay, then. So, okay, we have just a, we have. Okay, we have two more on, Evangelist Bernard. They just came on the line, so I'm gonna open up the line, Pastor Horn. Okay, let's go here. Okay, we.
Did they hear the word? Who is it?
Sister Sister Dar.
Amen. She has a lot going on. There's some noise in the background. If they
right, you can hear them.
Okay, fine. Okay, Area. What did you say?
If they just tuned in and they have not heard the word, we just like to invite them to go to our website at www.newdestinyministries.com, and you can listen to this message again in its entirety, or go to Blog Talk Radio and search for New Destiny Ministries. You can also hear this message in its entirety. We were talking about protecting your anointing. Amen, amen. So we're going to go back to Elder Horn and let him have the final remarks. And again, we thank you, man of God, for the word that you have spoken to us today. Again, I say a rhema word. Amen, and we'll have him to dismiss us. And again, we'll see you on Sunday morning for early Sunday morning prayer at 7 a.m. Sister Minister Billy Burns and Elder Burns host the Saturday segment at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Join that broadcast, and you call into the same telephone number, area code 858-683-1334. Amen. God bless you, Elder James. Elder Horn.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. We want you to close us out with a word of prayer. And if you have any other remarks you'd like to leave with the people, you can do so at this time.
No, ma'am. I appreciate this opportunity. And you know, I'm just it's just a blessing to be able to come on and just share what God has put upon my heart, and I'm just truly grateful for this opportunity, and may God continue to bless this ministry. And I just want to close with 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So, Father, we just thank you right now, oh God, for just who you are, oh God, and we thank you that you so loved us enough that you gave your one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. So, Father, we just truly are just want to say thank you today, oh God, and we just plead the blood of Jesus over Sister Bernard and her assistant Ruby, oh God, their families, oh God. And Father, all of those who may have listened today, oh God, via internet or over the phone, oh God, bless your people with peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, because their heart and their mind is stayed on thee. We give it all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Elder Hart. Remember, you have an open invitation, so whenever you're free, we certainly would love to have you back with us again. So God bless you.
All right, God bless you too. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You too.
Amen.
All right.
Because the reason you can set us all out with a song. Thank God for everyone in Radio Land. We appreciate you.
Amen. How great is our God?
How great is our God?
one more time. Just raise your hands as high as you can in this place. Everybody, just lift your voice and say,
How Great Is Our God by Jonathan Nelson. God bless everybody. Have a blessed weekend.